This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Listening to Checkpoint Intimates. I'm Bree, and today we're going to be talking about video games as performance, specifically VR. And we have a special guest. We have Wayne, who you might know as Wayne Radio TV. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Would you mind quickly letting everyone know a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. I'm Wayne Radio TV. I go by Wayne. It's not my real name, just sort of happened that way. I'm a Twitch partner. I do Twitch streams. I make videos for YouTube. All video game centric. It's just me and my friends playing games, but we focus our stuff around comedy. And I am the creator of the HLVR AI series.
Cool. All right. So as I said earlier, we're going to be having a discussion about video games as performance. Video games have been used in this manner for a very long time, since people discovered that they could talk loudly and annoyingly over video game characters. People have been doing it. My personal favorite is Half-Life: Full Life Consequences.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you have any favorites?
Honestly, any of the ones made by that team back in the day, Full Life Consequences. What was the other one with Co-worker Jim? Was it like Half-Life Quarter Life? Something like that? They have such ridiculous names. Quarter Life. Yeah, there's so many. Like, and they're at this point, like, a lot of them haven't even, the ones that were my favorites back then maybe haven't aged as well. It's incredible the evolution of what of this medium.
Like you were saying, the evolution of this content has been really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think now would be a prudent time to mention Half-Life VR, but the AI is self-aware, which obviously is like still, like, especially being a Half-Life content, I would say is definitely related, maybe like a distant cousin.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Half-Life Full Life Consequences.
Absolutely. We definitely drew inspirations in some places, to those classic series. Like, I think in anything, just in like our mannerisms, the way we talk, but like, we have a lot of inspirations, a lot of influences on, like, where we got our ideas from, there definitely is some shared DNA in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, go watch it. So it's basically a playthrough of Half-Life 1 where Wayne is in a VR headset and playing as Gordon Freeman, the player character, and also a bunch of his friends are playing as NPCs, and it's all initially played pretty straight that they are AI, but then as it goes on, things kind of go off the rails. Would you classify that as an adapt synopsis, or do you have anything to add?
No, I'm trying to think if I do. That's pretty much what it is. I think it is a playthrough of Half-Life 1, and it very quickly turns into an improv comedy absurdist piece, which is something that I am not a comedian by trade, but I'm very happy that I could make something like this that ended up being as good as it was, because I'm a huge fan of, like, absurdist comedians and different pieces.
Yeah, totally. I think that something that made it so interesting to watch was just the subversion of expectations for people who had played the original
game. Oh, yeah.
I know that, and I guess this is sort of spoilers for a YouTube Twitch series. I don't know if I'm allowed to spoil.
I think it's fine.
Whatever. It's fine. The part where Gordon loses his hand really threw me for a loop personally.
Yeah.
I was like, that don't usually happen.
All right, that makes me happy, because that was the point. Half-Life 1 is a game that most people, if you are aware of, like, source game culture, most people know how it goes. While we were doing this, like, when we made the first episode, like, I had no idea what this was going to turn into. But as it kept going, I was like, okay, we need to keep this fresh, else we will fall into the hole of like making the same jokes. Like Bree said, at a point in the story, we modified the way that the game worked and using just like basic video tricks such as cutting to black and then cutting back to the footage. We used that to cover up like a model swap and then added a plot point to the game that I lost my hand. And in doing that, the whole point of that was to give the other actors opportunities to like make new jokes based around that concept and kind of like sway the plot in a way where we could do something original without getting too far away from the original game. Like it would be one thing if we did like we could have just like put a different map and completely took the game off the Half-Life 1 rails and like did something else, but like I wanted to stay within the game with our own like fun little tweaks, and I'm glad the dismemberment thing worked as well as it did.
I thought it was really interesting that like obviously for ease of filming, a lot of like crappy bad platforming physics puzzle sections were cut. And it was just so funny. I remember, I think it was in one of the behind the scenes videos, you were talking about how people were leaving comments telling you to play the game properly.
That is some of like YouTube comments are a very hateful place. People get very mad over the funniest things. And the all time funniest comment that I ever got. So this series being one where we are just like playing a game and making jokes and the actual gameplay is maybe secondary to what we're actually trying to do. I get a YouTube comment from some kid or teenager, I don't know, who just all caps, shut up and play the game. Like, he's just like, I am not here for your comedy crap. I am like, that is not my thing. Play Half-Life 1 in VR. That's all I want to see. It's anytime that we did something like that, like with the dismemberment or the twist that happened at the end, like I can just imagine that guy in his chair, extremely angry if he's still watching, if we didn't lose him yet.
It made me laugh so much when you mentioned it because I was like, how does he not see that the gameplay isn't the
point
anymore?
That's not what we're doing.
That's not what this is about. This isn't a Let's Play. This is something else. Go watch a Let's Play.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
That was so weird.
I mean, the poor guy, he probably couldn't find like a Let's Play of Half-Life VR. He's like, this is the only one. This is all I have. Let me watch Half-Life.
He's sitting through and just skipping through all of the bits where you guys are just making goofs. And he's like, no. Where's the game?
Damn it, only killed two enemies in this episode. What the hell, man?
I do also have some questions about VR in general.
Sure.
And like obviously when you're doing not just the HLVR AI videos, but any VR videos, I think this is something that everybody does. Your hands just become so big.
Yeah, so for me, it is an actual conscious effort to get them on screen because I talk with my hands. That runs in the family.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we used to make fun of my dad because anytime we'd go to a restaurant and he'd order nachos, he would like make a dome with his hands and like form the nachos in the air. And we used to rag on him for that. And as I got older, I realized like, oh God, I'm at a restaurant. I just did that. Like I talk with my hands so much. And in VR, In that first person perspective, you have a lot of control over the viewer experience, and you have a lot of control over like making it seem more human than like a regular first person Let's Play. So like in your hands become big because in order for people to see those, you have to hold them in places you might not normally do. Like I have to like reach out like in front of my eyes to make sure that like my gesticulation can be seen. It becomes a huge focus, and sometimes it's more natural than others. Like in the early episodes of Half-Life, where like I'm putting my hands on people's shoulders and stuff and interacting with them like they're in the room with me.
Like that.
Yeah, I'm sad that I didn't really get to keep doing that because everyone was constantly like sprinting around at speeds that I couldn't match. Dr. Coomer b-hopping away from me.
I think there was like a bit where you had your hand on Tommy's face.
Yeah.
Just like, calm down. It's okay.
Yeah.
And that was
cheek
such
sweetly.
Just like, yeah.
There's a scene in like the final episode where we're trying to do like our last like quote unquote touching moment or whatever. And I'm like trying to put my hand like on Tommy's shoulder and he just keeps like wiggling around and I'm just like, oh, screw it. I can't, this isn't working.
Yeah. The only like VR game. I have a Vive. The only VR game that I've played the whole way through was Half-Life Alyx because it deserved it. And that I noticed that even I wasn't even playing for an audience. It was literally just me in my bedroom. But I was still doing that. I was still pointing at stuff. The second I realized I could point, I was pointing. And I don't know what control. Are you using the actual like knuckles?
Yeah, I have the I have an Index headset and Index controllers as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we tried to get the Index controllers, but they couldn't ship them because of COVID. So I've just got the basic Vive ones.
Oh man,
which
you got to try that game again once you can get your hands on those.
I do. I found a piano and I wanted to cry because I couldn't do anything with my fingers.
Well, I hate to spoil your dreams, but it doesn't work super great even with the finger tracking either.
Oh, that sucks.
It's better.
All I could do was a thumbs up. Mm. I could do a thumbs up and that was it. So I was there with two thumbs
up.
You
play the piano with your thumbs, yeah.
On the piano. I was giving characters thumbs up all the time the second I realized I could do it, especially that really chill Vortigaunt who wants to give
you. Oh my god, the Vortigaunts in Half-Life Alyx are like the most beautiful thing. They are their animation is incredible. It's like I want to watch a movie just about Vortigaunts made by Valve. It would be I'm so into it. I you know, Half-Life, I'm only into Half-Life as much as I am because of Alyx and because of HLVRAI. I, like, really wasn't, like, I've always known about it, but I never, like, loved the games. And, like, I've kind of been forced into it. And Vortigaunts are, like, one of my favorite things in the Half-Life universe. They're so good.
They're so good. And in Alyx, they were animated really well. In Half-Life 2, they were kind of, like, they were very stiff. Mm. I mean, a lot of things were very stiff.
Very rubbery.
Half-Life 2 is, like, I have, like, a weird connection with... My dad used to play it when I was six, and I used to sit on his lap.
It's funny for me, because, like, I have the same... I have a similar attachment, but it's, like, it's more to Source, and, like, to the Half-Life characters, it is their prevalence in Gmod. Like, I...
Exactly.
The HLVRAI was made in Gmod with the VR mod by Katz, who is an incredibly talented programmer. I have no idea how someone managed to put VR into the mess that is Garry's Mod. But I've been playing Garry's Mod since I was in fifth grade. And it was one of my favorite games. And like back then it was just like picking up ragdolls and slamming them into the ground and laughing at the funny noise it made whenever they collided with the floor.
Yeah.
And I am 23 years old and I still laugh at that. So I haven't changed too much. But, like, the attachment I have to these characters is their presence, like, in the Gmod spawn menu. Like, for the longest time, Father Grigori was just like, oh, yeah, that's the funny priest guy who the game says is an animal. I played Half-Life 2, like, throughout the years. I never really finished it until before Alyx came out. But, no, I love the series in my own way.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely valid. Like, so many people have played Gmod who have never touched Half-Life. It's just, look at all these chill guys who sometimes I can pose. I remember my younger brother one time managed to spawn in a Sonic the Hedgehog and he made a crucifix.
Oh my god, that hits too close to home. one of the reasons when I was a kid, when I was in like fourth or fifth grade or whatever, I loved Sonic the Hedgehog. secrets revealed. I think one of the reasons that I like sought out Gmod and got it is because like I saw a video that was like me hanging Sonic the Hedgehog in Garry's Mod 9 and it was just like rope tooling his neck to the ceiling and I'm like picking him up and I was like and I saw that and I was like honestly I was such a dumb kid. I just thought like, yo, Sonic's just in this game. Like I didn't realize that you have to download a mod for him. I thought he was just naturally in Garry's Mod.
I do have a couple more questions. I was going to quickly ask, at what point do you think something like HLVRAI, like at what point do you think it stops being a Let's Play and starts being something else? Because initially, it's still sort of, you're still sort of doing the game, but then obviously that stops at some point.
Well, in Act 1, whenever I first started doing HLVRAI, I straight up just told my friends, like, hey, we're just going to play Half-Life 1. Like then it very much still was a Let's Play. We're just going to play Half-Life 1, but you guys can be these characters. And otherwise, you can just go, like, crazy and do whatever you want. Just stay within the confines of the game. And then we got to Act 2, where it started being less about the game, more about the jokes. We started, like, skipping things. Like you were saying earlier, like, there's parts where we just, like glazed over, cut through these, like, nasty platforming sections. And, like... through the entire series, I definitely still wanted it to be somewhat about the game. I never wanted to get too far away from that. Like, at some point, we're just telling, like, a JRPG story if we stop caring about, like, the Half-Life stuff. But, like, once we got into Act 3, we put way more of a focus on, like, character interactions and, like, placing albeit a very loose plot. With our own loose plot within the confines of Half-Life. And then when we got to Act 4, like, the last, like, hour and a half, 2 hours of that stream was just straight up, like, our own thing. We were no longer, that was not Half-Life at that point.
Yeah, it's really cool how it sort of, like, got to the point where really Half-Life was just, like, the setting. Like, this was like,
our vehicle.
A story being told within Black Mesa. Mm-hmm. Half-Life is sort of happening in the background, but just kind of ignore that part. Mm. that's not super important right
and
now.
And I mean, that is, like, that sentiment is carried by the NPC characters, like, how Benry will just pretty much kill any NPC that he came across. There were some NPCs really early on that, like, this was also one of my first time actually playing through Half-Life 1 all the way through.
Yeah.
I knew a lot about it. But, like, there were some NPCs that were saying things about, like, what Gordon Freeman in-universe, what his goals would be, and then they just get, like, either the NPC gets killed or, like, they are just outside the room the NPC is talking in, just, like, spraying bullets everywhere and I can't hear a thing that he's saying.
Yeah.
Like, one of the earliest, like, missions is, like, oh, you have to get to the Lambda Lab, and, like, the NPC that told me that, I, like, did not pick up on anything he said because of all the bullshit that they were doing outside the room that I was in. So, like, that was just kind of, someone had to remind me, like, I was like, guys, what are we actually doing in Half-Life 1 right now? And it's like, yeah, we gotta get to the Lambda Lab. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what that is, but let's go to the Lambda Lab. And that became, like, the center focus of the characters in-universe was getting to the Lambda Lab.
Yeah, yeah. That was so cool. It's honestly so funny, though, because I remember when I first played Half-Life 1, I actually played the PS2 port.
Oh, really?
Because my life is a misery.
I heard good things about the PS2 port, though.
It was, I don't know, it was okay. Mm-hmm. But I just kept getting confused. I wasn't sure what was going on, but that was really because I wasn't listening to anything anyone was saying. Yeah. I kept being like, okay, when does the game happen, please? And so when I was watching your videos, it's just kind of like, oh, that guy talks? I didn't even know that guy had anything to say.
Yeah.
I ran right past him.
You can run right past him, or they can just die. I think something I respect Half-Life 1 for is, like, no essential NPCs. Anyone can die. It does not matter. They are, like, totally cutthroat in that way.
Yeah, yeah. When I started Half-Life Alyx, I was like, they better let me just do dumb stuff during important cutscenes or I'm out. Mm-hmm. If I can't freely walk around in circles and just ignore whatever they're talking about, I'm out. Mm-hmm. That's not a Half-Life game if I can't just ignore you.
Yeah, like Russell, when I was playing, like, Russell's talking to you about how to use the grab gloves, and I'm just, like, throwing a gnome up and down like a basketball.
I was, like, going through his fridge while he was trying to exposition to me. I also went up and I tried to touch his face, and he was like, no, and he, like, hit me away.
Oh, does he react? I don't think I did that.
Yeah, if you try to touch his face, he, like, pushes you away.
Bites your finger.
Gross. I don't want to think about where Russell's mouth is being.
I mean, he probably doesn't brush his teeth. Like, no, like Russell, you're a great guy. No hard feelings, but just, like, in your situation, I think dental hygiene may not be your concern.
Definitely not. I do just have one more question.
What's up?
So what were, like, some of the main difficulties when it came to, like, trying to record, like, something within a game that already sort of has its own intentions? Like, obviously, glitches and game limitations and characters who just keep trying to talk to you. How do you sort of circumvent that?
Well, my biggest enemy throughout the series was ladders. I could not climb a ladder to save my life after the first session. I don't know why. I think, if this was just done in Half-Life 1, like, if I was just in Garry's Mod and we skipped the VR thing, like, I think a lot of the problems that I had would not have been there. They're unique to trying to play this game with this, like, great but kind of hacky VR mod. I think one of the bigger problems is, like, I was just talking about how, like, I'm proud of Half-Life 1 for not having any essential NPCs and just kind of letting you do your own thing. The thing is that the more that I think about it, there are essential NPCs. You can still kill them, but the game would expect you to load the save. Like in Act 3, I don't know the name of the Half-Life mission, but there's a bit where you need to guide three scientists to a door to open it. They got killed instantly. The moment that we met them, I think Dr. Coomer, Holly, she blew them up. We just didn't have them to work with. What we did, like, in regards to running into, like, restrictions with Half-Life 1, none of this would have been possible without someone behind the scenes. Like Mike, the G-Man's actor, was also our stagehand, so he was no-clipping around and, like, flying invisibly, like, making sure that things went the right way. Like, if something like that happened where an NPC died, he literally, like, you don't see it because I'm looking away, but he has to recreate, he makes a new NPC and has to like make sure that it's assigned the right path, that it'll go to the door and like press that button so that we could get through.
Yep.
And then like you were saying earlier too, the platform segments, like platforming in general was like a nightmare. And there were some parts that like everyone who was working on the series except me, like, was like, we need to just get you to the end. We're going to try to do that as fast as possible. And a part of me, like, still wanting it to be Half-Life 1 was like sad, like, no, we got to like, I want to like play the game too, man. And like,
yeah,
and so we would try these platforming bits and then I would just fall straight off and I would just get teleported. And like me being teleported was just kind of like the director, like behind the stage, like waving to me, like, no, you're done. No more of this. Move on. Failing platforming segments, like NPCs dying, like, I think those were probably the hardest challenges within the game. And then from there, the rest of the challenges came from like Gmod problems rather than Half-Life problems.
Yeah. I do remember, like, I think, again, it was in one of the behind the scenes videos. Mike was talking about how, I think it was when, like, you're having a confrontation with Benry and you're stuck inside a set of sliding doors.
Yeah.
And Mike said that he kept opening the doors because he was worried that you wouldn't be able to open them.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That made me laugh because it was like, you really don't know, like, especially when you bring VR into the mix, because VR is such a tricky mistress. Mm-hmm. You never know exactly what is and what isn't going to work, mm-hmm. especially within such an old game.
Yeah, we never would have assumed going in that, like, the revolving door would be, like, a big problem. Like, you would just assume, just go through it. It's a door, man. Just walk forward. But no, it is its own unique challenge.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you so much for talking to me today. That's pretty much all the time we have. Could you just take a quick moment, just let the people know where else they can find you online?
Yeah, the name is Wayne Radio TV, and you can pretty much find me anywhere you'll find that name. So twitch.tv/WayneRadioTV, that's where we do our live streams. That's where Half-Life VRAI at this point is over, but when we do future, more complicated streams and bits and all that, that's where I'm at. youtube.com/c/WayneRadioTV. That's the YouTube channel. That's actually where you can watch HLVRAI, because while it was recorded live, primarily it is a video series. The edited versions are that's like the primary way to check it out. And then from there, yeah, I'm on Twitter, WayneRadioTV.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's all right. That's pretty much all we have today. Make sure to check out checkpointgaming.net for more news, reviews, and other gaming stuff. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.